You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. It has been a year now since Dr. Mark Schlissel was inducted as the 14th president of the University of Michigan. He took over the job at a pretty tumultuous time. Complaints about high tuition, the university's handling of sexual assaults, and an athletic department under heavy scrutiny. President Mark Schlissel joins us now. Welcome to Stateside.
Thanks very much, Cynthia. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with what tends to be, I think, top of mind for so many people when they think about higher education, and that's the cost. Mm-hmm. Are we at a crisis point, do you think, when it comes to the cost of tuition?
Well, I think higher education is expensive. I think it's enormously valuable. I think there's absolutely no argument that it's not worth what it costs. The thing that I worry about is I think we're obligated, certainly as a public institution like the University of Michigan, to provide access to a Michigan-caliber education for talented people no matter where they fall in the socioeconomic spectrum within our society. So that's the challenge that Mary Sue took on, and certainly is the challenge that I'm continuing pretty aggressively to make sure that a Michigan education is affordable and accessible to people across the full breadth of our economy.
And what would be a solution to keep higher education from being only for a select few?
Sure. So it's really not rocket science. What we try to do is run the university as efficiently as possible so that we can restrain the growth in tuition. However, we need to be competitive for the best faculty, the most robust facilities. So we provide very significant amounts of financial aid based largely on a student's need, calculated in a need-blind kind of way. So we're one of the few public institutions that have need-blind admission for students. So we admit students regardless of their financial need, in-state students, and then we use a formula to calculate what their expected family contribution can be, and then we provide the rest in terms of an outright grant or scholarship, in terms of a work-study job, in terms of a loan. It's very important that our students who are on financial aid not graduate with loans that really limit their ability to make choices about what they want to do with their life. So we're working hard to increase the fraction of scholarship and decrease the amount of loan in our financial aid package. About 70% of our in-state students get some kind of financial aid. And what most people don't realize is the rate of tuition growth in the last few years at Michigan has been relatively modest. But the rate of cost increase for our aided students has been flat, has been nothing. So the vast majority of students on financial aid, when tuition goes up, we raise their financial aid because we want them to be able to finish their education and go off and be successful and take advantage of all the things Michigan had to offer.
One of the conversations in the state of Michigan centered on the cost of higher education is Republican Governor Rick Snyder calling for more two-year degrees or technical training or community college attendance. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think community colleges and technical degrees are fantastic. So the wonderful thing about higher education in our country is there's all different types of higher education. And students have many different choices based on their aspirations, based on their talents, based on their capacity, based on affordability, to choose whether to pursue a two-year degree, a technical degree, or a university degree. You know, for me, the value of a university degree goes beyond just educating you for a particular first job or profession. It teaches you to be an educated citizen. It gives you a framework from which you can really understand more about the world and have a psychologically and emotionally richer life. So that's the kind of education Michigan aspires to provide for our students.
You are starting off a brand new school year, meaning a new class of more than 6,000 freshmen out of almost 52,000 applicants, we ought to note. And sexual assault on college campuses is a real fear for students and parents. It's become an issue. In fact, we had headlines this week from across the country. We saw students in Ohio with banners saying things like, "Dads will take it from here," or "Daughter Daycare 2.0. As an educator, how does that make you feel?
Well, as both an educator, a university leader, but also a parent. You know, my wife and I have four children, two daughters. Both of them have already graduated from college. But I feel one of my responsibilities as an educator, but certainly as a university president, is to be concerned and to enhance the health and safety of all the students around the campus. And certainly, you're not free to learn and get as much as you can out of college if you feel like you're under threat of assault of any kind. Certainly sexual assault. We take the problem very seriously. As you probably know, we did a very detailed survey of the practices and issues on our own campus. We're using that information to enhance our approach to prevention, to improve the way we support survivors of such episodes. But I want to take care to point out that this isn't a university problem. It's a societal problem. This age cohort of people basically 18 into their 20s and approaching 30, as far as we understand, the incidence of sexual misconduct and sexual assault is not different on college campuses than it is often society at large amongst the same age group of young people. I think it's a cultural problem, and I think we have to have a very broad cultural solution. It's up to us. It's up to the students and this whole generation to say, look, this is not behavior. This isn't my society, and to really police themselves in ways that we can support.
Do you wholeheartedly feel that the university's position to be able to properly investigate allegations of sexual assault and then provide the kind of support that students need?
I think that's something we aspire to do as well as possible. I can tell you at any given moment we're doing it as well as we can, but we recognize that, we're a research and teaching organization. We're not a police state. We're not a judicial system. So we do our very best. We follow mandates that come from the federal government, but we also follow, our hearts and our sense of responsibility as best we can.
Well, U of M was one of the universities identified by the federal government as improperly handling instances of sexual assault. I'm just wondering if you can tell us, where does the investigation stand and how much involvement do you have in it?
Well, we don't know where the investigation stands because, there are perhaps 100 universities that are undergoing scrutiny. One of the wonderful things about being the University of Michigan is when we do something great, the whole world notices. But, we're also a very obvious and prominent target for anybody that wants to make a point. So it's not surprising at all that amongst the 3,000 and something universities in the country, we're amongst the group that are being investigated to make sure that we're doing our job as responsibly as possible. I look forward to hearing the results, and we're in a mode of continuously trying to improve the way we address these issues. But even more importantly, the things we do proactively to diminish the incidence of sexual misconduct on campus.
We're speaking today on Stateside with University of Michigan President Mark Schlissel. When you came here to Ann Arbor, there was a spotlight in a campus-wide conversation on lack of diversity amongst the university community. Do you see that? Do you get that lack of diversity that some students feel?
I think it's real. I think it's one of the biggest challenges confronting the University of Michigan, to be honest. I think we cannot achieve the level of excellence in education and research we aspire to without being far more diverse than we are. One big reason why is a lot of learning that goes on at the university is learning amongst and between students. People learn from each other. And I've always found that I learn more from people that look at the same set of issues with a different set of eyes, a different prism, a different set of life experiences. We have to build a learning community that looks more like the society that we serve in order to be truly excellent. And that extends to faculty as well. And there's also really good research that shows that teams working on problems come up with more creative solutions the more diverse the team is. And that argues to me that our research isn't as good as it can be unless the folks we have conducting the research represent the full breadth and robustness of our society.
As president, what's your response and what do you feel that the plan of attack can be, particularly in light of the Supreme Court's decision regarding affirmative action in admissions?
Obviously, we'll follow the law and we'll also pursue what we think it takes to make the university stronger. So where we would like, or I would like, every talented student in the state of Michigan to think about applying to the university. We're the public university of the state of Michigan. So I'd like the demographic of our applicant pool to look like the demographic of our state. We need to find ways to identify talented students regardless of their socioeconomic status and the quality of their primary and secondary education. Mm-hmm. We need to select ones that are going to be successful here at Michigan. We need to go off and recruit our hearts out to make sure they come here and they can see their futures here. We're developing relationships personally as well as our admissions folks with high schools all around the state, particularly in parts of the state that don't send proportionate numbers of students to the U of M. We just announced a fantastic new scholarship program called the Hail Scholarship, like Hail to the Victors. Mm-hmm. It's for high-achieving, low-income students. We're doing it as a pilot. 1,000 students a year for each of the next several years will be invited, based on their grades and test scores and their socioeconomic status, to apply to the University of Michigan. We'll help them with the applications. We'll provide them extra information. We'll give them vouchers so that they don't have to worry about paying for the applications. Lots of help filing their applications. If they can get admitted to the university, then we guarantee them a 4-year full tuition scholarship. So that's $60,000. Plus, if they'll apply, any additional financial aid that they qualify for based on their family's means. So we really want to be proactive in reaching out around the state and make sure that regardless of your circumstances, you've got a shot at getting this world-class education.
Let's pivot over to athletics. Going back a year to when you were new here, you walked into an athletics department that had become, I'd say many would agree, dysfunctional. And you said in your first press conference you were speaking about Brown University, where you've been provost. And here was your quote, "Sports don't permeate the campus. It's just at a different level." I'm wondering what that entire experience from the student rally demanding Dave Brandon be fired to letting him go and bringing on interim AD Jim Hackett and then landing Jim Harbaugh as the new head football coach. How did all of that inform your understanding of the role athletics play at the University of Michigan?
Well, yeah, I think I was misrepresented a bit in that because I came from an Ivy League institution where we're not on national TV playing football every week, the presumption was that I didn't know anything about sports. I didn't care about sports. But, you know, as a kid growing up in America, you're surrounded by sports. You know, I played basketball. I played tennis. I went to baseball games with my dad and football games with my friends. So I've been a sports fan my whole life. So it wasn't as if I came in completely naive, for starters. What I did discover is there's an intensity and a passion and a sort of culture here where athletics, I've heard people describe it, and I think correctly, as some of the connective tissue that holds the community together. So whether you're here on campus as a sophomore or whether you're a faculty member or whether you live in the community – or whether you're an alum who graduated 40 years ago, you care about how the team's doing. You get excited. You want to talk about it with your friends. You live and die with the maize and blue. That level of emotional intensity and the depth of the role in the culture of the university, that I had a seat to believe. I mean, I was getting emails and calls from leaders in our society, people in your profession and all around the country, for example, that felt as if they had a personal stake in Michigan athletics. So that was my real learning experience, understanding the cultural role that intercollegiate athletics, particularly football, plays in Michigan.
And you have made some pretty clear statements about your thoughts on the fit between college football and the academic standards at the University of Michigan. And right from the start, you said academics really had to be the focus. So how do you do that when there is this incredibly passionate culture?
So I can tell you, Cynthia, that even the people that are zealous supporters that keep their season tickets even though they graduated 30 years ago and live in California and can't bear to give them up, even those people don't mistake the reason why the university's here. They all know we're here because we're educating the rising generation. We're creating new knowledge. We're the engine of innovation for society. They don't mistake that. They just get excited about sports. So there really isn't an inherent conflict. People know why we're here. People pay an awful lot of attention. So especially with the new coach we hired, who's such a celebrity in addition to being a spectacular coach, people are drawn to it. It's magnetic.
I'm wondering, what was it that made you decide to say yes to the offer of this job, to come to the University of Michigan, to come to the state of Michigan?
Well, it's interesting because I've never lived in the Midwest before. And to my embarrassment, although I had many professional friends who've worked here, and I'm very familiar with the scholarly work in my own field in biomedicine that's been gone on here, I'd never visited the university before the search. Several people recommended me for the position, and the search firm and the search committee reached out to me. I was the provost at Brown. Being a provost is kind of like being the farm team for presidency. So many, many provosts of my generation are now university presidents. I had only been at Brown for a couple of years. I had no intention of leaving. I had received inquiries for other jobs of this type, and I wasn't interested in any of them. Michigan is one of those things that it's held in such esteem in the world of academics that if an opportunity like that presents itself to be considered for such a thing and you let it pass by, it's the type of thing that you always regret.
So in this year, what's left the biggest impression on you, both in terms of the university community and the state?
Sure. Those are great. That's a great question. So I think for me, the defining characteristic, the most spectacular thing about the university is its breadth of excellence. So 19 schools and colleges, 100 programs, graduate programs and professional programs in the top 10 in their field. If there's something interesting that humans can study, it's being studied here at Michigan at the highest of levels. So that's our real strength is our breadth of excellence. I'm also very impressed with the faculty in a way I didn't expect. So we're a great research university. I'm a researcher. My heart's in the research, in my lab. My lab's in the freezer right now. But when I would talk and try to get to know the Michigan faculty, a common question I'd ask them is, what are you excited about? What's coming up this year? What are you looking forward to? And I expected them to tell me about a new grant they got or a book they're publishing or a new piece of equipment for their lab. A lot of the time they told me about a spectacular student they've been mentoring or a new class that they're developing with a colleague from another field or a question that a freshman asked them that has puzzled them for weeks and weeks and weeks. So there's a level of commitment to teaching amongst the Michigan faculty that was surprising, refreshing, inspiring for me. The students, you know, you've seen them, you know, they're full of energy. They're incredibly entrepreneurial. They're passionate. They have a real social conscience to them. They're not passive people, and I'm really excited about that. The university is just incredibly well positioned for its next 100 years.
And now you're a Michigander.
And now I'm a Michigander. I traveled all around the state. I tell people how beautiful Lake Michigan is and Lake Superior, and it's just absolutely gorgeous.
President Mark Schlissel, it is a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us on Stateside.
Oh, it's really a pleasure and an honor. I look forward to speaking to you again as well.